The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, pothead.
Look at the game change.
If you want to battle, it's either that you will or
you
won't.
You know, you're not a bad looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Bullshit. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face.
No, I thought you said that you are right, Spider.
Hey, man.
Rob Riggle in the house. Buddy, when you were on the last time, you said I'd be one of the guys in entertainment you'd want in your foxhole.
Yeah.
That never left me.
Well, it's true. It's absolutely true. Yeah. And I'm looking at you right now. I'd still take you.
Well, I'm way better now than I was when you said it.
Really?
I coach wrestling now. Like, I got purpose, discipline.
I didn't know you were coaching wrestling.
Well, you know, I was in all the papers, Rob.
Well, that explains it. I don't read shit. You know that.
I don't know who reads shit. Is that a specific skill? Well, we got to get the shit reader in here and find out what the dog's eating.
Somebody read the shit.
What is the dog eating? He's here now. Hold on. We'll find corn. True Car, friends. You know, I got cool car tips that I got from True Car. Coffee filter, a little bit of olive oil. Clean the interior. Maybe you don't want to go out and spend $40 on a can of some clean the interior business. Put a big cinder block in the back of your Mustang GT. It won't fishtail going through Las Virgenes Canyon. Let me tell you something. True Car, it's not just for buying new cars. Certified Dealer Network, it's who I use. I'm in the market now for a new car. I'm up on my True Car stuff because True Car users on average, save over $3,000 off MSRP, which stands for Manufacturer's Suggested
Retail Price.
Like, you guys got some stones on you. Like, I suggest $1 million. Oh, I was going to put it at 40. 44 it is. Hey, I wish I could do a little better for you. It's a $1 million car. It's not. Save time, save money. Don't overpay. True Car. Riggle, you're the man. We're out of time.
That's a That's actually that cinder block suggestion is not a bad one. I this morning driving here, guy in front of me, BMW is an old like 300 class BMW, but it's souped up. He put those Japanese mufflers on it, so it's real loud, you know. And leaving the intersection because there was just a little bit of drizzle out there this morning.
Yeah, that's when it's the most slick.
He gunned it and went into almost a 360. He did about a 90 and then snapped it back, and then it went way out the other way and then snapped it back, cleared out two lanes of traffic. God bless, nobody was around, but
you should maybe go to like a Skip Barber heel toe racing school, man.
Something. I mean, he was ready to drift. He was ready to drift.
But, you know, that's like, you just described like every man in Brea, California. Like, it's always like an Asian guy that talks like a Puerto Rican driving a German car that's lowered with Japanese gear. Hey, man. Talks like a brother. What you doing, fool?
Yeah.
It's 1975, man. Get your act together. Rob Riggle has a podcast, Riggle's Picks. We had Sarah Tiana on. I had Sarah Tiana on at my home.
Oh, nice.
Which is now being sold. Delightful. You got another? How many devices do you have?
I'm wired. I'm so up to speed, man. I'm so 21st century. I got shit everywhere. I got watches. I got phones.
Rob Riggle was on the phone for about 20 minutes right as we started to record. He's like, I'm sorry. And then right when I'm talking, his watch went off with a call. As George Carlin would say, hey, spaceman. Riggle's Picks, it's funny, man. You guys are like perfect, you and Sarah Tiana.
Thanks, man. That means a lot coming from you. I appreciate that. Yeah, Sarah's awesome. She's funny. And she and I play well together. She's fun.
She's okay. Don't give her a big head.
Believe me, I got to work out all the time. She treats every show, too, like a roast. And I'm always the guy getting roasted. So
I want to have her back on this podcast to just go over the science of roast jokes. Because I'm doing like this thing called Comedy Science on Wednesdays. And I just take one bit and I put it under like the microscope.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You think it's funny, but you don't really know why it's how funny it is. Yeah. I'm explaining it to you.
Now, there's a danger in deconstructing comedy, though, isn't there?
No, I'm just laughing until I pee. So I'm like, George, the first one was George Carlin, fuck Tucker, Tucker sucks. And then it was Eddie Murphy, the dog don't know his name, Eddie Coco. Where the fuck is he going? And then it was Pryor's Wino versus Dracula. Comedy off camera.
Yeah.
Like the Dracula has to like come down from the window and be like, who me? She got shit hanging all out your mouth, man. That's where that's from. It's 1975, man. Get your shit together. Dirt all on your neck. Got a cape. It's amazing. And I discover new things when I get in there. Like, oh, the Wino definitely thinks that Dracula's black.
Now, I'm fascinated by your mind. Do you have a photographic memory?
No.
Honestly. Because you can quote. Close. You can quote chapter and verse almost every comedy bit ever made.
Well, in the Bible.
And the Bible. But it's unbelievable.
Thank you. I mean, that's what I love the most. Like, I mean, some guys love cars. Like, yeah. Like you said, BMW 300 class. I'm like, I guess. Like,
whatever that means.
I don't know anything about cars. All I need to know is where the jack is, and I'll change the tire. But that takes like
an hour. That's true. Because some guys, but you also, you're sports. You have an encyclopedic knowledge of, especially sports numbers. This always cracked me up about you.
Yeah.
You do. Like, if I throw out a number 16, you could probably run down a list of people who wore
Whitey Ford, the shortest pitcher in the Hall of Fame at 5'10".
See what I mean?
Record for most World Series wins with 10. Record for most World Series losses with 8. Record for most World Series starts with 18.
And there it is, friends. There it is. That's 8. What I'm talking about.
And he threw it at number 8.
Yeah.
Yogi Berra. The reason I stopped counting tickets, if people don't want to come, we can't stop them. I'm like, he's right. I did my press. Just show up and have a good time, dummy. I was listening to the episode of Riggle's Picks. Everybody, I put my name on it. Hit subscribe. You don't have to listen to it. Just hit subscribe, and Riggle gets credit, and then he gets to box Sarah out and bring Carissa Thompson back. Is she dating Larry David still?
I don't know. I didn't ask her about her personal life.
Oh, she's obviously dating him for his looks. You know how she is.
I didn't even know if they were officially dating or if they were just friends. I don't know what their status is.
Mm. I don't know, go to a Lakers game together, and you go to Grammys, Emmys together.
If you go to a Lakers game together, I would assume that's pretty serious.
So me and Aaron Larson are butt buddies now?
That's what I assume, is you went to a Lakers game.
You said, the real reason I want you here is because I really want to be on Rob Rickle's Sawakaki Academy for personal watercraft.
Rob Rickle's Ski Master.
Sawakaki Personal Watercraft Academy. What assholes? Explain that.
Dude, I would love to have you on.
Here's showbiz in a nutshell. Tell everybody what happened.
What?
With Jet Ski Academy.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rob Riggle's Jet Ski
Your
Academy.
Last name's Riggle.
Yeah, Riggle. So you know. Sound like Jiggle. Rob Riggle's Ski. It was originally titled Rob Riggle's Jet Ski Academy, and the good folks at Kawasaki wouldn't let us use their name. And I'm assuming it's because lawyers got into a pissing match. Whereas if I would have just been able to talk to somebody at Kawasaki, I think we would have worked this thing out.
Because they own Jet Ski.
Yes, they own the name Jet Ski. So now it's called Rob Riggle Ski Master Academy. It's coming out on Sony on Crackle, probably in August.
I did a movie for Crackle, and it was one of the best experiences of my life.
Really?
Yeah, because you do press, and everybody's like, so you're the tip of the spear for technology. You're doing a movie that comes out on people's phones. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, well, that's what drew me to the project. The name of the movie is Boathouse. What's it about? Well, no, it's Party Boat. And they go, what's it about? I go, well, I play a homicide detective in Amish country. The fuck, what's it about? Crackle's got it together, though, man. I'm so happy you're doing it with them.
Yeah, I'm having a good time.
Are you on the water doing this?
We didn't have quite the budget to be like out on the water doing jet ski stuff, so we have one day of shooting on the water, and the rest of it we do all shoreline stuff and treat it like a camp. You know, it's an academy. And
I'm not kidding. I rent a place in Malibu.
Yeah.
You were right out from my deck.
Really?
I'm right on the deck. Yeah, because at high tide, it hits the wall on the fly. Go right out.
No.
Yeah, I told you.
Become an ocean fisherman? By the way.
Well, when I was a kid, that's all I did with my grandfather. That was the guy that, like, saw me.
But was that ocean fishing?
Yeah, Barnegat Bay, New Jersey.
Wow.
And we go out on his boat, Big Red. He was Red Ferguson, Maurice Ferguson. And he was the guy, like, we wouldn't speak, but I just knew he knew me.
Really?
Like, I felt value. There was never, like, childhood's like, everything's too loud, too up close. The rules change. It's confusing. An alcoholic parent, a passive-aggressive enabler.
Yeah.
Sisters were 8 and 9 years older than me, so it's like, I'm really, like, on my own here.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned, like, Donna Summer and Joan Rivers albums, too, you know, so there was, I met, like, gay guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, there's a whole Puerto Rican gay guy. Like, oh, there's a whole world out there. It was great. But it was also, like, isolating. And then when I'd go out with my grandfather in a boat, like, he would just go, this is how you, you know, tie this. This is how you do this. And yeah. I'm like, I was, like, 11 years old. I'm bringing the boat in and docking it and tying it up.
That's
catching
awesome.
Crabs with my hands.
That's good. That's a good memory.
It was the best.
Yeah.
It's great. So that, when in August, and I want you to talk more about Sakawawi Personal Watercraft Academy. In August, I rented a place for my birthday on the in Malibu because I kept putting money aside when I did stand-up because I was going through like this divorce and custody battle. So I'm like, in case some shit breaks out, I'll need cash because I don't have any money because they keep taking it. They're lawyers, you know. Yeah. And then nothing happens. So I had like 14 grand in an Otter Pop box in my freezer. So then I rented this place I always wanted to that I was talked out of twice during America. Like, why do you want to do that? Then you can buy your own groceries. I mean, yeah. Let's go to a hotel. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. I'm stupid. And then they just wouldn't let me leave. My landlord, Carl Randall, who ran for Malibu Council, took sixth place out of six people. And he goes, but there's only 200 votes between sixth and second. I go, don't spin it. This guy made McGovern look like William the Conqueror. And yeah, they just lowered the rent. It was like, we don't want you to go. You get it. Because I'm out in the water, just like underwater, pulling mussels off of rocks for bait. And
that's
he comes
amazing.
Out and I came up for air and he's just on a paddleboard, like Poseidon on an elevator going up and down, like not even looking around. And he goes, let me tell you how not to die. The first thing my landlord ever said to me, let me tell you how not to die. And he just said, my mom and I don't want you to leave. Just pay what you can. And he came with me to the improv that night. They gave me an envelope of cash. I handed it to him. He goes, that's fine.
Unbelievable.
It was not for always, but this month is. I'm like, all right. So Kawasaki owns Jet Ski, the name.
Yes.
It'd be like Kellogg's owning, like, you know, fucking Rudy Tooty Flakes or something.
You got it. Exactly. It's,
and they tell you, like, you can't use our name.
Yeah. They say you can't use it. So and I was like, fine. I don't see how this hurts you in any way, shape, or form. If anything, it's going to put your name out there in front of more people. But
people need to know what it, yeah.
But whatever. I think what happened is, honestly, I think the lawyers just,
nice of you.
Just got in a pissing match with each other. That's it, man. The lawyer. Whenever lawyers start talking to each other, it becomes very territorial and very pissy. And it's just a simple agreement. Hey, we're going to say Robert Gould Jet Ski Academy. How hard is that?
We'll give you a piece. We'll show jet skis and we'll light them like food porn on the Food Network.
Exactly.
Like, we'll make a ding sound every time we see one. Right?
Exactly. With Little Even Stars. I'll do whatever it takes. But they didn't want to play ball. So.
And what's the name of it now? Because it's a big drop off.
Yeah. It's Robert Gould Ski Master Academy.
Ski Master.
Yeah.
Well, that's so good. You leave it open. You hit the mountains if you want. You do blow at a party. Like, who wants to ski?
We put a whole backstory to it, though. We put a whole backstory to it. Just like what Vin Diesel is to Fast and Furious, we created a jet ski series of movies that aren't real. And then we made me, Rob Riggle, like the ski master. So I have all these jet ski movies that aren't real, but we made this backstory.
They're real to me, damn it. Riggle, you're like...
So anyway.
That hit a bell in me where I'm like, you don't have to give me a penny ever. I don't need a credit, but you got to like let me see some stuff because I could do that. That's all I do is stupid stuff like oh my God. Then there was the sequel when TC from Magnum PI got a spinoff, Brown and Yellow Helicopter Party.
So we got a lot of good shit going on. And Ski Master will come out in August. And it's
my birthday month and I think a great present for me.
What's the day?
23rd.
Oh. You're...
Virgo Leo. And
you're one off. You're one off from my sister. 22nd.
What
sister.
Did I say?
You said 23rd.
Well, you didn't let me finish. yeah, I want to be down with. I don't even know what the content is. I don't care. But you're doing fake movies. We had all those fake movie posters on the wall. Slow torture.
We had a Ski You Later and Ski No Evil.
All puns. Like,
terrible puns.
Optometrists always do that. Like, the eyes have it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For your eyes only.
There was only one. We made like eight of these fake movies, posters and story backstory, and only one of them wasn't like a terrible pun. It was Ski Master Assignment Tampa Bay.
I like it. Ski Master Electric Boogaloo. You got to ski to save the rec center. You got to go
you
inner
know
city.
All of it.
You
got
to go
it.
To the inner city. You got to have the movie where you go to the inner city kids and straighten them all out with some ski master.
Well, that's what the academy's for is to teach troubled urban youth about personal watercraft safety.
That's the whole mission of the Academy.
Same page we're on already, buddy. I'm lobbying hard for this. Tweet Rob Riggle incessantly. When's Jay Moore going to be on Ski Academy or whatever a goofy white supremacist name is?
If we get a season two, we will find a way to get you out there.
You know what that means. You know the blonde guy from Karate Kid, Sweep the Leg?
Of course.
I'm that
guy. I actually had dinner with him.
Oh, yeah?
Not long ago.
You guys, like, working on
Met through a mutual friend, and we were at Dan Tana's, and had dinner, and he was the nicest guy in the world. It was just so nice.
Skylar Stone's always like, do you want him for your podcast? I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
but now I do.
Growing up, you know, I remember watching him and thinking, holy cow, that's the guy. Because he played the jerk in a lot of movies in the 80s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I don't know why, because he had blonde hair and was handsome. I guess he had to be the bad guy. Yeah. You know.
I've become Rutger Hauer.
Yeah. Well, every role I get now is like, so you're going to be the sexist, you're going to be the racist, you're going to be the misogynist. I'm like, is there anything else out there maybe I could do? No. That won't. Those are for other people. You're the big white guy, so go, you get to be this.
Go gray, wear some glasses. It'll come around for you, buddy. It will. I promise you. I would like to be that, like your nemesis in the movie, but you actually didn't get you. I think like the reason you broke your hip is because this guy like purposely rigged the ramp.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
You're doing like tricks in Orlando.
There you go.
Okay, man. It's man-made lake. I'm not responsible for no tide, no currents. It's not on me, buddy.
I like it.
I got some kooky catchphrase.
Come on. That's gold.
Buddy, if it's on, it's on. And it's on. Who's your favorite Muppet?
Who's my favorite Muppet? The drummer, right? Animal.
I'm asking you.
Animal. I'd say Animal.
Good answer.
I don't have a problem with Animal.
You have a problem with any of the Muppets? Because there's one answer where I'm like, oh, no.
Well, Fozzie's kind of a wishy-washy.
That's it. He's a hack.
He's a wishy-washy. Make a decision.
He says waka waka. He wears a bow tie and a hat and no pants. When I get Kermit, I'm always like, okay, front man. I like it.
Yeah.
People say Miss Piggy. I'm like, really? All right.
She's got attitude.
I was always into Rolf the piano dog. Because they didn't use him as much, so I thought he'd be a really good hugger.
I like the two old men.
Statler and Waldorf.
Thank you.
I'm sick of what? This show. But now it's all about Bert.
Yeah.
I love Bert. There's like Bert memes where he just looks up from a book like, what the f-? And everybody's like, he's an asshole. I'm like, no, Ernie bugs the shit out of him. Hey, Bert, what are you doing? Yeah. I'm thinking about my favorite number.
Yeah, I'm doing my own thing.
Six isn't anybody's favorite number. Well, it's mine. No. And they just does the slow burn.
Yeah.
What is your favorite number? If you play for the Royals, you wear...
If I play for the Royals, I wear 47. That's always been my favorite number.
That's high. I'm 37. 47, that's even higher. Why 47, do you know?
Don't know. It was just a number that I got playing sports as a young kid and just loved it. It was always my sports number.
What sports did you play?
Football. I was seasonal, you know, Midwest. I was always seasonal.
Why is that question up?
Well, because it varied. When I got to high school, it changed.
Where did I park?
It changed.
The concert was 3 hours long. I know I'm in lot B, but where?
No, it was, look.
There's only three.
I played football in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring. And then the summer I played golf. But what happened was when I got to high school, I was returning a kickoff, broke my thumb, and they wouldn't let me try out for basketball. So but they said, you got to do something. So I wrestled. And I was a fucking terrible wrestler. I think I was 3-15. I got smoked every time I went out there.
Maybe you were just learning it.
Yeah, but still, it was humiliating. One time I went out there to wrestle this guy from Lawrence, Kansas. And I walked out on the mat, and this guy was jacked. Like
Coach Snyder?
His trapezoids were up by his fucking ears, and he was the Hulk. And he was in a leotard, and you know, I was just like, God.
Singlet?
Yeah, whatever.
What were you in?
Shorts and a t-shirt. Like, I don't think I wore a leotard.
It's called the singlet.
I didn't wear a singlet. But that's how not invested I was. But I went out there, and I said to the ref, no shit.
It's already great.
I said to the ref. I go, I think there's been a mistake. Because what they do is they go, from Shawnee Mission South, Rob Riggle, report to mat 4. From Lawrence, Kansas, report to mat 4. So I got to mat 4, and I was like, and I saw the guy, and he's a beast. And I went up to the ref, and I said, hey, I'm from Shawnee Mission, but I think there's a mistake because And he goes, who are you? Who are you? What weight class? I was like, 135. And he goes, yep, 135. I go, he's not 135. I said, I'm having this argument with the ref in front of the guy. Yeah. And the guy's already like, I already won. You know, he knows he's won.
You're the gazelle.
Yeah, I'm totally the gazelle. He was the lion.
He's the predator.
And I just.
Your eyes move to the side of your head. I'm prey. Uh-oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Energetic stress, I feel it.
And that was it. I mean, it was pretty much over. But it was over before it started, obviously.
So you only wrestled for a couple months, though. You learned moves for a couple months before you started wrestling.
Yeah, I mean,
And you were a sophomore when you started?
Yeah.
So you had as many wins. Think about this. You had as many wins as months learning wrestling.
Yeah.
If I was your coach, you'd be a state champion, baby.
I don't doubt that.
You have as many wins as months you've been wrestling. What are you upset about? Let's get you a singlet.
But every time I went out there, I just got smoked. I mean, it was over so fast.
You like jigsaw puzzles and to be tickled? Come to my house.
And you know what else? Back then, I would get to the third round, and I would just have blue or white lips because I was exhausted. And I was praying for death.
But how are you out of shape?
That's what I'm saying. Even in high school, like, it was so – because I felt like every fight was a fight for my life. Every match was a match for my life.
It is.
But I was losing my life almost every time I went out there.
But I'm surprised your pragmatism didn't take over and go, well, I'm just learning. And I got – like, the guys you beat must have been fish. Like, just flopping on the deck of the boat. Like, you're like, all right, I guess I'm the predator.
Do I just lay on him? Or what do I?
Yeah, smother him. No windows. I don't want to see any light coming through the two of you.
You know, so what I tried to do, though, because I was wrestling at the 138 class, and then it dropped down to the 132 class. And so I was always busting my ass trying to get down to 131.
People are asking why, and it's because – look, if you've like 4% body fat at 138 and the other guy's got 11% body fat at 138, he's going to start burning lactic acid and start getting cramps, and you're not. You're just a better sports car than he is, and you both know the same moves.
Yeah.
That's why you cut weight in wrestling. I'll just answer that for the listeners, like, why do they cut weight?
Okay.
Because some guys cut weight. I had a kid at Palisades High. We call him Peanut Aaron. He's one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen in my life, and he's wearing a wetsuit in practice. He's cutting weight before state. He went to state. He won CIF, which is city. He's the best wrestler I've ever seen in my life. When he shot on somebody.
Was it his speed?
Yeah, that shot was the I've never seen anything like it. It was just nothing you could do. I mean.
He was inside of you before you could.
Not me.
Before you could react.
If I knew I was this good of a wrestler, I would have been a way better wrestler. There's no like attaboys in the 80s. It was like, what are you guys doing? What? Right under left. Oh.
You're the worst.
I told you not to take any moves across your back. I know, but I pinned him. Get a jump rope, get going.
So what happened then, my junior year?
So we cut weight, and then he goes, Peanut, I'm calling bullshit on you, man. I pull him aside, I go, I know what you're doing. I go, you're going to cut weight, you're going to be gassed, and then you got a reason for why you lost any of your matches at state. And I'm telling you right now, you're full of shit. And he goes, no, I'm all right. And then like halfway through the practice, I look over, and he's got like doll eyes, like Shaw describing the shark in Jaws.
Yeah.
Doll eyes. Like there was nothing going on.
Doll eyes.
And I go, come here, buddy. And then the head coach is like, no, he's all right. He's learning. I go, I've never said this to you before, but he's coming with me. I take him outside. I hand him a bottle of water. He goes, oh, that's my first water of the day. It's 4:30 in the afternoon, and he's wrestling in a wetsuit, not one drop of water since he got up for high school at 6:30 a.m.
That's crazy bad.
And then he didn't finish it. And he hid it from me. I go, it's 16 ounces. He goes, 16.9. Like, this kid was, but I get, next year he'll be a senior.
Yeah.
And he'll get like a scholarship. He's bananas.
Oh, yeah, he will. Sorry, but let me finish.
You got to do that around me, as you know. I hijacked.
So I, my sophomore year, I wrestled. Well, then the next year, I had to do a sport, but I couldn't try out for basketball because they had weird rules in my high school where you had to do da 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 da. So I had to swim. My junior year, but everybody else is in Speedos and, you know, they're high speed swimmers. And I wore jams. This is the 80s. I wore jams to swim in. And they basically had a football lane where all the football players went to swim. It was just the turtle lane. And we all just kind of dog paddled and swam around, but we had to do a sport. We didn't have a choice.
In your school, you played football.
Yeah.
It's weird that basketball was like, you broke your thumb last year, you can't be in basketball anymore.
Totally.
And football's like, when are you coming back?
The thing was, if you didn't play a sport your sophomore year, you couldn't come out for it your junior year, unless you had just moved there. It was the stupidest rule.
Crazy athletic school?
It was.
They're just weeding people out?
I guess. I mean, back then, they
How good were you at basketball?
I was okay. I was good enough to make one of the teams.
So, Rob, for the listener, Rob Riggle goes, I was okay. It means he was fucking good. Were you a two-guard?
No, I was. I would go between forward and guard, depending.
Swing man.
Yeah.
That thumb messed you up. You played D, though. I know you locked him up on D, didn't you?
Yes.
I know you.
Yeah.
Forearm in the back. Play defense with your feet. And in your back of your mind, your dad, like all that Midwest upbringing, you're like, I could stay on the team if I lock everybody up. You took like three shots. If the first one wasn't an air ball, you keep shooting. I know you. I'm right?
It's scary how right you are, actually. It's scary.
What would your walk-up music be? Like, I know you're coming down the street because I hear what song? Like, oh, shit, Riggle's here.
Oh, shit. It would probably be Any Way You Want It by Journey.
That's perfect.
That'd probably be the one.
Corey, drop it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rob Riggle! He's done with his broken thumb. The cast is off. He's air dribbling between his legs.
Always the showman.
Did you like swimming?
I didn't. I hated it.
It's hard, man.
It's hard. I always thought it was this nothing big, no big deal. What's swimming? Big deal. But when you got to put it together, man, and coordinate your strokes and go for so long, it was one of the most fatiguing things I've ever done.
It's the most, like, I'm 47 and I wrestle every day.
Yeah.
And when I go on the road, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stay in shape. I'm going to go and swim for 10 minutes. And then I do three laps and my heart rate's like 170. We're like, yeah. 150 is when you go, uh-oh, I better get out of the steam room. There's a lot of cocks out, but it's not worth dying.
I did the Malibu triathlon recently. Okay, I've done it. Yeah, I did it 2 years ago. 2016 was the last time I did it, and I've done it a couple times. But when you first run out and you jump in the water and you start swimming out past the break or whatever, by the time I get out around that first buoy out in the ocean, I'm sucking wind harder than I've ever. I mean, it is bad. But you have on those full wetsuits, and the guy that was teaching me how to do all this stuff. Thank God for him because when we were training, he would roll over on your back. And I'd roll over my back and he goes, just don't do anything. And you float. And I was like, oh. So I got a lot of confidence that way. But when you
swim. Oh, because you were afraid like you'd sink while you're swimming?
Yeah, of course. Because you're way out
there. Just to like catch your breath.
You're way out there. But it was both. It was catch your breath and also just have the confidence of knowing that.
I don't float.
If you stop swimming, you just roll over on your back and that wetsuit will keep you.
Oh, the wetsuit?
Yeah,
I haven't tried it in the wetsuit.
Yeah, it'll keep you buoyant.
But me in a pool, like, on my back,
yeah.
I got a big ass, man. I just go, I'm
you
like
go down.
Can't-ham.
Yeah, I can't fill up the lungs enough to keep my – I keep my face above, but the body goes down like a, yeah. like a rock.
I mean, like you should go out to the Great Salt Lake and act like big shots. A big salt mattress and a bed of kelp. I think I just wrote my next poem.
There you go.
That salt sounded, mattress, bed of kelp.
That sounded magical.
I swam – the community pool was right next to my house. Like one block over. So I'd cut through the neighbor's yard and hop the fence into the pool every day. Like that's all I did. And then at 10, I'm like, they go, you here for the swim team? I'm like, yep. Because I was like a half hour early.
Yeah.
And my first match in my swim meet, my first one was like 25 yards freestyle, boys 10 and under. And I never took my head out of the pool for a breath. I just went. I'm going to kick harder. This is my thing. I'm going to kick harder. I still do it. I will beat anybody.
In a short sprint.
50 yards and back. Yeah. I'll kill you. I'll never, because I just kick. I beat, you know, Barry Katz?
Yeah.
My old manager?
Yeah.
Man. He swam. He was the captain at Boston University. And we're at like Playa Blanca. You know, at some Club Med, and I got like 8 fucking cocktails in me. I'm all zooted and weeded out. Yeah. I go, I'll beat you in the swim race. He goes, you don't know what you're talking about, man. I was captain at BU, car length, hammered by a fucking car length. I rolled him up and smoked him like a doobie. I kicked his ass. I got out of the pool and fucking puked right on the deck. I was like, whoa, I think I'm seasick or something. Nothing to do with the angel dust. I just snorted.
Jesus Christ!
You I do love have it.
You've got short term power blast skills, don't you?
Yeah, I don't like. You can run. Like when you were in the Marines, I was reading your article on Runner's World.
How do you know all this stuff?
Because I do research for
do
you.
Do you ever sleep?
I haven't lately. It's weird, but I don't like. You know, I figured it out though. When like after my girlfriend goes to bed, my son goes to bed early, then my girlfriend goes to bed, and I'm like, I'll do some work. And she goes, don't stay up too late. And she knows I'm going to be up to like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
It's the only time there's no – if somebody's there to engage with, I can't stop.
Yeah, you'll engage.
I'm like, I'll kick Corey out of my dressing room because I'll just – I'll go like, hey, you ever seen Platoon when Defoe was like taking stuff off – you don't need this. You don't need that. You don't need the shovel. I'll hump your gear for you the next time you're on your own, okay? If you get lost, don't call out. We'll come get you. Sit tight. I'm like, wow, why do you laugh? Don't call out. She's like, what? I'm like, nothing.
God dang, you got you do. You have an encyclopedic photographic memory. I'm convinced.
I don't know
of
my
it.
Mom's birthday. I know it's in October. My sister.
So you have a memory. You have a photographic memory, but for pretty much useless shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Until you get like a radio show and you try to cruise on it. If you're picking up girls, and you need to talk about Cy Twombly in a hurry. Talk about some art. Arleigh Army, a great Marine, died.
Yes.
And your first commanding officer. General?
Colonel
Fox.
Colonel Wesley Fox.
I was surprised he was as old as he was. Like
he was an old school Marine. He actually fought in Korea, too. He fought in Korea and Vietnam.
Not the frozen chosen, baby.
No, I don't think he was frozen
chosen. He didn't lose.
But he...
only battle the Marines ever lost.
Well, we didn't lose. We just attacked in a different direction. That's all.
Backwards?
Yep. We were surrounded.
If you didn't say yeah, I would have taken it out of the podcast, so I wasn't being disrespectful. Except for Dallas, baby.
Yeah, no, we were surrounded, so it didn't matter which way we moved. We were fighting somebody.
This is the guy, your commanding officer. He was your first one. I saw it on your Twitter. I went back a bit, and he had passed, and he has the what medal did he get?
Medal of Honor, Congressional Medal of Honor. But he has a bunch of them. He has, I think, four Purple Hearts. He had Bronze Star with Combat V, a Silver Star.
I thought a Purple Heart was like if you die in combat. Purple Heart's for bravery and uncommon valor.
No, and it's for being wounded or killed in combat.
Hold on. I'm an idiot. I'm actually writing these down. I actually knew that, and I feel – see, I don't know everything. Purple Heart is when you're – five Purple Hearts?
Yeah, it's four. Four, I believe.
Four?
Yeah.
Nothing can kill Barnes but Barnes. Barnes ain't meant to die. Y'all talking about killing? Y'all experts?
Tell me about it.
I'd like to hear about it, potheads. Y'all smoke this shit to escape reality? I am reality. Life's full of shit. That, I know.
That's one of the most intense, amazing scenes ever.
I'm mad that they nominated Willem Dafoe also. He was great.
Yeah.
But Berenger absolutely would have won the Oscar.
Berenger should have won.
Because he wasn't supposed to die, and he wanted them to actually kill him. And I don't think people realize what a great actor he was in that movie. He goes, hey to you boys, I'm here all by my lonesome. Y'all want to kick ass?
That same scene, do you remember? I think it's Coppola's son, isn't it, who plays...
Anthony Quinn's son, Rob.
And he's got the little fist blade that he pulls out. And
don't
he,
do it, Barnes. Yeah, 20 years, he'll be climbing the walls. LBJ, though. I'm like, that couldn't have been the name of the prison.
Leavenworth.
Oh, but
he said Leavenworth. I think he goes 25 years climbing a wall. Leavenworth or something, because that's the big military prison.
Yeah, he's
going to
kill Charlie Sheen, and he just goes... on his cheek.
Gives him a little taste, something to remember him by forever.
And like the next scene, he's got a little Band-Aid there, and you're like, oh, that's badass.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen was great.
Oh, everybody. I mean, that was...
John C. McGinley. Uh-huh. I got a bad feeling about this one, Pop.
Come on, man. I got a bad feeling.
how's it going? The guy from Animal House plays the ROTC second lieutenant, which is like the disaster of Vietnam. Guy comes out of college. Let's take the hill. Like, fuck you. We've tried... Oh, of course.
Like the Niedermeyer. There you go. Yeah. That's what he's talking about.
He wasn't Niedermeyer. He was just one of like nerdy dudes. He's like a handsome guy. He's the guy that goes, how's it going, man? And not good, I'll tell you, not good. This cocksucker's got every card in the deck. And he goes, is that true, Barnes? And he goes, yeah, and I ain't even cheating yet.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you say, LT? You want to join us? No, your boy's probably trying to rape me. So what are you saving up to be, LT? Jewish? Jewish. I'm like, what? I don't get it, I say.
Oh, yeah.
Purple Heart is for being injured.
Yes, for being wounded or killed.
Injured, wounded, or killed?
Well, wounded, injured, same, you know. Injured, you know, you could, that's not quite the same as being wounded.
Okay, and the next medal would be what?
Well, there's no rank of them, but I mean,
just tell me the medals.
Yeah, Congressional Medal of Honor.
That's how high up?
That is the highest award you can be, or the highest medal you can be awarded in the U.S. military.
And you get that for?
The CMH. Congratulations for gallantry above and beyond the call of duty.
Define gallantry.
Gallantry in combat above and beyond the call
define
of duty.
Define gallantry. For the benefit of the court, please define gallantry.
It means in the face of imminent danger and death, that you expose yourself to imminent danger and death to accomplish the mission.
Colonel Fox had one of those?
Oh, yes.
What else did he have?
There's only 70.
Bronze Star means?
There's only 71.
You don't want a Bronze Star, correct?
Medal of Honor recipients.
In how many now?
71 in the U.S. that are alive today. It's only 71.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bronze Star you don't want, right?
Bronze Star is a – it's a, these are all awards for usually anything.
Oh, I thought one was like if you died.
Bronze Star up through the Medal of Honor.
What's Bronze Star for?
It's for actions taken in combat, usually something very brave or gallant or something you did worthwhile in combat.
Okay. And thank you. And pardon my ignorance because this is things I don't ever want to not know. Yeah. Define gallantry, please, for the benefit of the court.
Again, putting yourself
you did it right.
in danger.
Yeah. I should listen more.
Yeah.
I got to go back to 4hymns.com, get my mind right.
In the face of extreme danger.
We were fighting ghosts out there, man. Little man in the black pajamas, eyeball to eyeball. You don't know combat with your computers. You have a nice thick head of hair. I look like Woodstock from Charlie Brown. Well, I used to anyway. 4hymns.com/MOHR. $5 the whole month. Trial month. $5. 4hymns.com/my last name. Erectile dysfunction, which I don't think you've ever had a problem with.
Not yet.
You're
knock
you're
on wood.
No, you won't. You're just that's you. That's you. That's what you fuck like. I get in my own head like, this is weird. I mean, is she really in? Uh-oh. Don't even make her more depressed if I lost my array. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. It's not you. It's me. I know. I don't care about the, like,
the uh-oh moment. Uh-oh.
Oh, that's awful. And then it's like, it just feeds itself.
Because it's like a snowball, right? We're going downhill. Yeah. It just picks up speed once that thing started.
I found the actual trigger for when it all, it's when I start getting sweaty. That's the, because it's like memories of me just like punching my clown like off to the side. Like, just give me a second. It's like just, ugh. I look like fucking Maury from Goodfellas.
You look like
Maury's erection, stay up!
I was going to say, you look like Dirk from Boogie Nights.
No, you don't. With 4hymns, you do. Dirk's like, I get up again. You want me to do the scene again? I get up again. I'm like, yeah, I could do Julianne Moore standing there. Oh, wow. She's a surpriser, man.
Does she float your boat?
You ever seen her in person?
No, I've never seen her.
That's a sniper shot. But you're like, oh, wow. Right really? Through my fucking...
She knocked you down.
Yeah. It's like right through your viewfinder. Like, all right, we got... Oh, I just saw that bullet at the last second. No perfect circles in nature, people. Put some tape over that scope, young man. Oh. You know that.
Good Lord.
Beforehymns.com helped me with like my hair. It was getting super thin. Now it looks good. 4hymns. I went to get boner pills at the pharmacy. I had a prescription from a doctor of $640.
What?
And I'm like, I went through. I had $80 in my pocket for a month, right? Yeah. Nobody noticed, buddy. You know how we do. For real. Nobody knew. And in Malibu, fishing off a paddleboard. Broke AF. And I go, well, I was like Chris Rock and Coming to America, like, all right, fuck the cup. You just pour it in my hand.
Yeah, yeah. Just give me one rib.
Like, how much is one pill? And they told me. I go, that I can do. And I actually ate it in front of her. Like a super hot pharmacist. And I go, and she goes, good hunting. On my way out, I'm like, oh, should I go back and say hi to her again?
Yeah, you should have worked the situation. You're free.
I was out the door. That was just too ostentatious. Like, speaking of hunting,
yeah.
I'm Richard Dreyfuss. I noticed you're sort of Persian. 4hymns.com/more. These guys are really great. And the skincare stuff, after I'm out in the ocean, I got to take care of my skin. Otherwise, I get all scaly. I get dry hands. 4hymns.com/more. Rob Riggle, you... We're on Larry King, and I think you were like the biggest guest he had in a while. For my money, beets are an underrated vegetable. Hello. Joliet, Illinois. Do you like beets? Go.
Go.
But I worked with you on Gary Unmarried. You played my brother.
Yes.
And there's a big heart in there, buddy, because I remember rewriting a scene with you. Actually, I rewrote the scene and brought it to you. It was like a button to the end of the episode. It was just so like schmackety-woo-wee Fozzie Bear shit. And you were going back to war in the episode.
Oh, that's right.
And it was just, I go, hey, wait a minute. And I'll just get up off the couch. We'll look at each other. We'll shake hands like we do because you're my older brother or younger brother. I don't know. Yeah. And then we'll just take a second. And then we're just going to like fucking hug.
Yeah.
And you were like, yes, let's do it, man.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I love it.
And I was like, Rick, I'm like, that was powerful. And we got this huge applause. And all your guys from your unit were with you.
Yes.
They came to watch the show.
I think there were some. Yeah, there were some there.
And I was teasing you because you just got pinned as a colonel. And I'm like, do those guys live in L.A.? You're like, no, they got to go back tomorrow. I go, that's nice. All three of you guys are colonels. They're in a sandbox taking sniper fire. And you're in a fucking sitcom. They must be real happy with you.
Yeah. They liked how it worked out for me.
Hey, showbiz. Another round, huh?
Actually, one of my last buddies is still on active duty. And he, one of the last guys that I know that's out there still hooking and jabbing. And he's retiring in June 20th. So I'm going to go down and see his retirement. But
what's his name?
Colonel Gabe Valdez.
Hey, Colonel Gabe Valdez. I love you, buddy. Never met you, but I love you. And nobody's going to harm a hair on your head. This is me.
He's the last of the holdouts, though. I think all my buddies, all the guys I served with are out now. You know, they're all.
You got like family he doesn't like? Why do you think he stayed out there? It's like, and I'm on, like, when I did a guest spot in like CSI Miami, I'm like, David Cruz almost hates his family because he's just here.
All the time.
Yeah. Fuck that. I'll do a spot. But I ain't carrying this shit on my back. Jennifer Love Hewitt and all those Law and Order folks.
Oh, shit.
Just go in and out.
You've been on the road, though, grinding it out lately, haven't you? Doing stand-up stuff?
It's 70 minutes, and I'm out.
Yeah.
I go home to the hotel. I pull up Pornhub and go, well, they don't yell, fuck me, stepdaddy. Why don't they just say what it is? By the way, Pornhub, enough with the Asian stuff. Stop, it's blurred out. It could be a quinceañera for all I know. Someone's just pointing, and the lady, I don't know if she's crying or laughing, or her hands are over her face. She looks like the dog in Duck Hunt. Rob Riggle, it's the Sakakawi.
That voice you just did, though.
It's every single one I've ever seen. Like, they all share a voice. I'm big on voices.
Oh,
have a good ear.
You have a...
Midgets and transvestites have the same voice.
You don't do nearly enough impersonations because you have a mimic. You can mimic as well as anybody I've ever heard.
You know what? I'll tell you why I don't. You mean on stage?
Yeah.
I do more here than I do on stage. And then when I do a show, they're like, hey, how come you didn't do a... And they'll pick something super random. Like, how come you didn't do Russell Brand? Or like Forrest Whitaker. I'm like, oh, so I just did 90 minutes. I thought we were cool.
Yeah.
Remember when you stood up at the end? I thought that was... I've never thought about this before, but because of that heart, it made me like slow down and go, if that's how Rob feels, and I realized just now it's because I feel like if I do all impressions, it's not stand-up. Impressions.
You're right.
I mean, it is, and I only do stories that actually happen to me because I hate when guys are like, what if Al Pacino worked at Dunkin' Donuts? You have 4 donuts left. Maybe you want to go to the Little Bites. You're a big man. That was the worst Pacino I've ever done in my life. Rob Riggle was on the Big Podcast with Shaq. Hey, Big Diesel, what's up, buddy? I love that podcast. Go listen to Big Podcast with Shaq. Shaq and the team, you know, they talk hoops and stuff. But I like when Shaq, like, talks just what's going on in his life and gossip. Like, I don't think that's why that happens. Rob Gronkowski, I'll tell you why. You're not going back to the Patriots. Check out the Big Podcast with Shaq every Monday. That's on Apple Podcast. Podcast One app is awesome. They've hoarded all the podcasts. If you got a podcast and not on Podcast One app, it's your podcast sucks, man. Podcast1.com. Big Daddy, I said to Shaq, I go, you've given me more joy in my life than any adult I can think of. You give me joy, too.
And why does he bring you so much joy?
Because I was sat baseline. That fucker would carry 2 dudes to the rack when he felt like it. It's like, hey, Shaq's only got 8 points. Like, I'm not worried about it.
He is truly one of the biggest men.
He was unstoppable. You could not, no matter what you wanted to do, when he went.
If he said, this is my post, it was his post.
When he got personal, man.
Yeah.
When he didn't think you had any business on him.
Yeah. I liked when his fire got lit. Because then it truly was. It was almost like watching an Avenger. Of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. They should just call the new Avengers Shaq.
They should.
I mean, he was... And everybody got on him for, like, shooting 60% from the free throw line. I'm like, look, I'm a Knicks fan. Allen Houston gets 20 a night, and he's 10 for 10 from the line. Give me that fucking 32 and 12. I don't give a shit if he hits one free throw. He's got 32 fucking points. Ball goes into the paint. All of a sudden, there's gravity. Whoosh.
Yeah.
gravity without the ball.
He just when his fire was lit, there was no stopping him.
I saw some crazy dunks at that forum with him, man. Malik Rose, when he was a rookie, had a Drexel on the Spurs. He had like a face like Frankenstein, a weird looking dude. He dunked and he got his shoe cut in Eldon Campbell's jersey, so he had to do like a because he didn't want to get a technical for hanging on the rim.
Yeah.
So he moved his feet like a bunny, like if you toss a bunny in here. Yeah. I was like, wow, I was pretty baked. I'm like, oh my god, it's right in front of me. And then Shaq started chirping at Eldon Campbell. Eldon Campbell's parents sat in front of me, like the classiest, old school Southern.
Yeah.
African-American general, like church clothes every game. And I'm like, oh, this is uncomfortable. And they came down next time and Shaq had him on him. And he had, I think David Robinson was out there. And he was just like, mm-mm. And he dunked. That's one of the games we just stared at his hand like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm so powerful. Riggles Picks is the podcast with Sarah Tiana. It's not, I thought it was going to be all like picks for sports. I'm like, they're going to run out of real estate.
Yeah.
And then thankfully, you and Sarah Tiana become fucking Gracie and Allen. It's amazing. Burns and
Gracie, right?
Yeah. George and Gracie.
Yeah.
You guys are like, it's so rare that you hit it like that with somebody.
Well, thanks, man.
You work with a lot of people. Yeah. You co-host stuff. It's hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What'd you see from talking to me? I fucking bend up time.
I could listen to you all day. I swear to God.
I know, but I get a lot of emails like, let him finish. And a lot of times what they don't know is like, well, the guy doesn't fucking say anything. Yeah. He's carrying this shit.
Exactly.
He's a snore.
I'm keeping the ball in the air, and this fucking guy's over here taking a snooze.
But you, you're not that way. So I want you, what I saw on Larry King was you talking about 9/11, and I didn't know that about you. And I realized you don't ever talk about accomplishments. You don't ever talk about like, I was in this and it was great. I mean, that's a lot of people go like, well, a lot of guys are like that. But like to be a ground zero for 30 days, removing rocks by hand for 12 hours, hoping there's an alive human. And then it gets switched after, what was it, 6 days?
Yeah.
And that was being really liberal and generous with time. Like, well, after 6 days with the heat, humidity, no air, probably there's going to be no survivors.
Yeah, it went from search and rescue to search and recovery.
Yeah.
At that point.
Just like Black Hawk down like Somalia.
Ugh.
I'm not comparing 9/11. Nobody thinks that you are. Shut up. All right, Randall. It's my alter ego. I didn't know that about you.
And yeah.
You don't wear any. I know, like, we talked about when you were, like, defending an embassy. Like, whoa. Where was that?
You're in Liberia.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you don't carry trauma at all. And I know you can compartmentalize, obviously.
Yeah.
But you've. Does anything like keep you up at night, or
no.
Is it just like
that? No, I think you. To me, it's all it happens. You deal with it. You do your job. You move on. And if you linger on that stuff, you know, it's kind of that's where the toxic stuff comes in. That's when it gets poisonous. Is when you, if you go back and reanalyze and tear things apart and deconstruct and not that you shouldn't analyze your life. You should always look back on your life and say, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? And how can I do better? And then move on. But yeah, no, like things like that, you know, you just let it go. I remember, not to name drop, but Mark Wahlberg, right? I was talking to him after he did The Fighter. And I congratulated him. I said, hey, because he got nominated for an Oscar. And I know it was a passion project of his for a long time.
Christian Bale won, right?
I think so, yeah. And so I was like, I just said, hey, man, congrats. I know that was a big deal. And this is like, no shit, a week after the Oscars, you know. And he goes, oh, yeah, I didn't know what you were talking about. Yeah, I go, dude, that's in the past. I mean, he threw it away. And he was on to the next thing. And he was on, you know, he's always moving forward. And I think that's why he's able to – you know, continue to grow.
And people don't realize what a good actor he is, too.
He's so talented.
They just think it's like, say hi to your mother for me, right?
which is a great bit.
Hey,
but,
goat.
But
hey, don't go, you Billy Goat.
If you look at it, if you watch him in Boogie Nights, if you watch him in a lot of things, you know, he gets a hard time, but I think he's a fantastic actor. He's not afraid to touch those emotions, you know?
No, it's great. Yeah. And The Fighter was like all emotion. And like carrying...
I loved you, by the way, in that Eastwood movie.
Hereafter?
Yes.
Thanks,
buddy. I liked you in that. I thought you were great.
I really appreciate that. Means a lot to me.
I did.
Well, if you want to know something that I don't think I've ever told anybody this, I did not know how to play the character because I didn't want to play another asshole.
Right.
And in the script, Matt Damon's like a psychic. He talks to dead people and
sure.
He's like, all right, your grandfather trying to get. And all this guy that I was playing wants to do is for him to get the company up and running again for his own personal benefit. Uh-huh. I'm like, I could do that in my sleep.
Yeah.
And they'd be happy about it.
Yeah.
But in the audition, I didn't do it. And I'm like, I got to get back to it. I got to get back to it. I got to get back to it. And my wife at the time said, get clothes that are too big for you because you'll look kind of pathetic. Uh-huh. And as she was speaking, I thought of like Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts in the Pope of Greenwich Village. Like, why is he with this guy? Because he loves him. And I thought of Ed Norton Worm in Rounders because I auditioned for that. I was like, fuck, man, this is a mind. But there was love. Yeah. So I just had to like love my brother so much that it was, you're so talented, you have to do this, which wasn't written, but that was the
vibe,
how I had to feel.
Yeah.
And it was literally 3 a.m. for a 6 a.m. call when I went, God, it's going to fucking work. I got it.
That's awesome.
I literally was
That's
like that.
Awesome. Because I loved you in that. I really
Thanks,
did.
Buddy.
I thought you nailed it.
That was the movie where Clint Eastwood and we filmed, we finished in the sports bar and he goes, JJ, would you like to join me for a Czechoslovakian beer? Like the most random and specific thing ever?
Yes, I would.
Well, I'm in AA. Yeah. I don't drink. He goes, well, then I guess you're done for the day. But he said it like, you're a fucking faggot. And the next day he goes, you know, my problem was never booze or drugs. Are you wearing a mic? Yes, sir. Cover it up. So I cover my mic up, like, Damon's wearing a mic. Richard Kind's wearing a mic. The boom guy goes low and starts creeping in.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, spill it, old man. He goes, I never had a problem with booze or drugs. My problem was always P-U-S-S-Y.
Oh, God.
Let's do it again, whenever you're ready. I'm like, I got to fucking act now?
You dropped that on me and I got to go act?
It's amazing.
I got to go back in the moment?
It's incredible.
Wow.
And in the scene, this girl was supposed to come out and hand me a letter and leave. And she started talking like, hey, here's your letter. And he goes, cut. He ran up three flights of stairs, that Wolverine hair and khaki pants and a golf shirt. He goes, sweetheart, I cannot begin to explain how little this movie's about you.
Oh,
give him the letter and go back in your little spot and let the boys do their job. It was ice cold, man. And he goes back down the stairs, and when he passes me, he goes, P-U-S-S-Y.
Jesus Christ.
Swear to God.
Wow. That is amazing.
That's a boss. Rob Riggle, Riggle's Pick with Sarah Tiana. And what should people all look for? I don't
dude,
know. What do you want to plug?
Oh yeah,
I'm
gonna throw out the plugs. Rob Riggle Ski Master Academy on Sony Crackle sometime in August. Night School with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish coming out sometime in September.
Are you the white guy?
Yes.
That's a good living, man.
It's good.
Don't turn those down.
I'm not turning anything down. And Riggle's Picks on Podcast One with Sarah Tiana and myself. And then also Fox NFL. I'll be back in the fall. So
those are the actual kindest men I've ever met in my life.
They are.
It's astounding how kind they are. And is JB still there?
No. Kurt Menefee.
James Brown flew back home to D.C. He lived in D.C. and he commuted because he was taking care of his mom twice a week.
That's the real deal stuff.
Terry, Jimmy John. Like, those guys are the best.
Terry's the most genuine guy in the world. Yeah. He wears his heart on his sleeve. You know.
Well, then you're in the perfect place, dude. Because I see that heart, man. I see you, man. I love you, brother.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate
I do.
Back at you. Right back at
my
you.
My man. Rob Riggle, Riggle's Picks. And, you know, let's get into the Jet Ski Academy, people. Let's go. Make it happen. Put your name on it. Be a man. Oh, woman, put your name on it.
Charge it to the game.
Nice.
The way you need it, any way you want it. She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she does everything. She loves to move.